Okay, so we are back at the Otaku DX show. This is episode 5, by the way. I can keep count. And we are going to do our, I guess it's sort of semi-bi-weekly.
Semi-bi-weekly, except for when it's tri-weekly or monthly.
overview of what we've been watching. Okay. I'm just going to put this out there. Beginning. Talk about the Alkaib.
I'm half tempted to start a new game, a drinking game, about whenever you bring up Alkaib.
There were some okay things that happened this time.
Oh boy.
I thought a nice thing was they're all going back to Daba's home planet to liberate it, and when he gets back there, he takes on his birth name of Come on My Road. And he does a nice little ritual. He doesn't call it a ritual, though. He says it's just something that they do in the Yaman clan. He takes a little pendant with the insignia on it, and he puts it on the ground and kisses it. And I was like, that was kind of a nice little moment for them.
I can't get over how stupid of a name Come on My Road is.
Well, they just still call him Daba. Good. Anyway.
Good.
Leslie showed up again. And this time she's got lipstick, she's got longer hair again, and now she wears thigh highs.
Oh, exciting.
This is probably how you most encounter her in, like, fan arts.
Mm.
And I can't imagine why.
I don't have the faintest clue.
I really, and she apparently doesn't want to see Daba until the war is over, because she doesn't want to get into petty squabbles with Amu. Over, you know, Daba. It was a weird sort of emotional moment, but I feel like I'm not invested in the characters enough to care.
I can see that.
Yeah. It's like people talk about, it's like, well, you know, when you watch something for long enough, you just want to see how it ends. And to be fair, some of that is what's going on here, but I'm somewhat fascinated by it. Just because, like, this is a, you know, the typical 80s mecha show.
I don't really buy that notion of people saying if you watch enough of something, you want to finish it. Because I've watched all but one volume of Gasaraki. That, mind you, that was about 4 years ago.
Oh, Gasaraki. I've never watched that.
I've
heard it's so terrible. It's like dry as hell.
Honestly, I like it. I just don't want to finish it. I'm just like, hey, I've seen enough of this. Maybe too much.
Okay.
Probably too
Maybe
much.
Too much. There was too much Gasaraki.
I wish that...
Too much of those.
I like the designs of the tactical armors, they're called.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
There's a game based on Gasaraki.
Oh, God, I bet it's boring.
It looked pretty boring. It looked very slow and not very fun. But it was for PlayStation. You could find YouTube videos. I watched it for a little bit. It wasn't super great. One thing that's still true, even, you know, 35 episodes into Alkaib, is that Lilith, the little fairy, is still the most useful sidekick in the entire cast. Mm. Because Amu got captured again, and Daba and Lilith went to rescue her. So, yeah. That's Alkaib. It's going to be pretty interesting towards the end. Oh, and Gable is still an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get it. It's like, they're sort of trying to be more serious, but he's still a goofball.
Mm.
I was like, I don't know. Maybe Shohayami was like, hey, can I just be goofy?
Can I
just
do whatever
the
fuck I want? I don't even care about this cartoon anymore.
Oh, he cares. He always cares.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me, I found a picture that commemorating the Macro 7 Blu-rays, where there was it was on Shohayami's blog, and it's him, Kawamori, and this woman and another guy I didn't know. So the guy on the far right, he was like, it's like, that's Exidor's voice actor, and he's kind of old now.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't place who the woman was, and then I saw Renata post, and he was like, oh, that's Eri Takeda. She looks really young. I was like, really? Because she's like 50, and she looks like she's 30. I was like, I pictured her being a lot older.
The magic of 90s cameras, I don't know. Or no, is this recent? No,
this is a recent picture.
Oh, shit.
Because this is them talking about the Blu-ray, because they wrote to the audio commentary.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, who you calling an old lady? Because that's what Millia says all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, I heard she likes to drink.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Anyway. What did you want to talk about?
Since it's the new anime season, it's that time where I just start going, it's like, hey, this looks cool. And then people tell me to watch it on Twitter, and I go, okay. I checked out a couple of shows. Did you watch anything from this season yet?
All I'm really watching is the second season of AKB.
Okay.
Which is glorious still.
Mm-hmm. The first show I checked out was the new show by Kyoto Animation called Tamako Market, which is...
Have you heard?
Shut up.
I thought everyone...
No. None of that shit.
We're missing a certain ornithological piece. Sorry.
This episode now contains 2 points where I get pissed off at Family Guy jokes. How about that? Anyway.
I liked Family Guy.
I do too, but I do not like people talking about it, you know?
Okay.
That's what ticks me off.
All right, fair enough.
As a kid who went through high school when Family Guy was popular, let me tell you. But anyway, this is not about anything that Seth MacFarlane has worked on. This is a show about a completely normal girl named Tamako, who lives in a shopping district in Japan. And her dad runs a mochi store across from another mochi store. And the two owners are always at neck with each other.
Oh.
And so tension's all high and shit, yo.
Mochi senso, woo!
But one day, out of nowhere, she's going home on a completely normal day. She stops by the flower shop, looks at some flowers, and in there is a bird. The bird proceeds to wake up, fly into her face, and make her sneeze. Then it is also revealed that the bird can talk. And his name is Dera Mochi Matsui. Which basically means Dera Mochi tastes bad.
Okay.
Which proceeds to make the dad very angry. And he asks him to change his name to Mochi Umai instead.
Yes.
Mochi
is delicious.
It eventually reaches the point where the bird... Oh, by the way, the bird talks. And he is a snobby, like, prince attitude guy who is kind of a creepy bird.
Would you say the bird has many words?
I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna fucking kill you. He does.
I can't.
Yeah,
I
know.
Cannot die.
I
know. I'm a Highlander.
Hey. But it reaches the point where the bird just starts eating mochi because it's a mochi shop and they have a shit ton of the stuff. And he gets fat. Like, really fat. Because he's eating concentrated rice cakes. Which are terrible for you. And so he gets so fat that he can't fly away. And so he decides, well, I guess I'll just chill here for a while. This is actually a show that... It does one of my favorite things that shows do, which is it builds a very strong ensemble minor cast. Because, like I said, Tamako, she lives in the shopping district. And so, you know, every single person who works there, you get to know. Like, there's the meat... the butcher shop owner, the fish owner, the flowerist, who was really funny because people on the internet couldn't decide if it was a guy or a girl for the longest time.
Does it matter?
To some people, no.
There you go.
But it's a show that it's... What I love is when shows manage to build a sense of community. It's the same reason I like all the shows that Yoshihiko Umakoshi works on a good bit, because him and the writing partner of the guy whose name I don't remember right now make it a very big point to emphasize a minor cast. And this show does a good job of that. It's a very laid-back show. Not a lot really happens in it. Not the most exciting thing in the world. But I find it actually very enjoyable, all things considered. Also, there's one girl who is a complete freak because she is obsessed with carpentry. Like, when she introduces herself to her, the new class, she says, "My name is so-and-so. I really can't stand the broken locker behind mine. I think I'm going to fix it tomorrow. I'm in the baton club." And that's all she says.
Fair enough. Who knows what goes on in Japanese high school anyway? Nobody can tell.
Yeah, so that's Tamako Market. Pretty cool show.
I could ask Richard, because he teaches there sometimes.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
I could be like, "Hey, what is it actually like in Japanese school?" And he's probably like, "Yeah, it's pretty adorable." The kids listen to Bon Jovi.
This is the show that I checked out just because someone told me to. This very bipolar show called Kotora-san. And you look at, like, a picture of the, like, just a, like, whenever they come out with, like, what the new anime seasons are next season, they have the generic picture of it in a description.
Is this Golgum's fault?
It's Goblez's fault. That's close enough.
Okay.
That's the guy on Twitter who told me to watch, and I was like, "Alright, I'll watch it." But, it looks like one of those generic, boring, crappy, romantic high school comedy love ecchi things that have a million words on them. And half the time it is. The other time, this is the most depressing show I've ever seen in my life. This is a show about a little girl named Kotora who has the psychic ability to read people's minds. And, you know, at first it's all good and well, she's a kid, and her mom asks it's time for breakfast, and she says, "Oh, you made omelets," and she's like, "How'd you know I made omelets?" And just stuff like that, you know, doesn't make a big deal. And then, as she gets older, she realizes this really starts to piss people off, because she reveals to her mother and father that they're both having affairs, and her mother and father both leave her, such that it's just her grandfather taking care of her. And all of her friends at school hate her because she's a weird psychic freak. And it is a horribly depressing show. The worst thing is, like, it's actually a really cool trick they did. Was the first half of the episode, or the first episode, was essentially a prologue explaining why her life sucks. And it is super dark and depressing with awful piano music and rain everywhere. And,
you know, guys, this is an episode of The Twilight Zone. Starring the guy from Bewitched.
Anyway.
The first Darren.
Yeah, yeah. The second one. But what happens is, she transfers to another new school because every single time she goes to a new school, people eventually hate her and they just never want to see her again because she can read their minds. And she goes to a new school, and she sits next to some random schmuck, and he doesn't care about her at all. And all he's thinking about is, like, a western scene in America and, like, purple dudes dancing. And this scares the shit out of her. And all of a sudden, when the two of them make eye contact, the entire screen cracks and the dark filter on the world is dissipated with actual color. Which was actually a surprisingly nice touch. I like when shows do stuff like that. That was pretty fun. But, half the time the show is just, like, a generic fun comedy that has nothing to it. The other half of the time, it's girls picking on her and making her throw up because they're calling her a monster and all that other terrible stuff.
Oh. Is this what's going to happen with the Moe show? Is they're just going to turn on themselves?
I really hope they do, because at least then I'd be entertained.
Because misery loves company. Uh-huh. Or an audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Kotora-san, I like it because I'm a terrible human being. Maybe you will too.
Yeah, you are. Jeez.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to send me that friggin' Valkyrie?
But no, like, I took a screenshot and I put on Twitter earlier. It's from the show. It's a screen cap of the main girl and the main guy, and the guy's just saying, "I can't help but get a little turned on when a girl's crying."
I think I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Show's pretty bad. And there was one more thing that I checked out that was new. Well, kinda, and this is gonna be fast. It's the second season of Boku wa Tomodachi ga Sukunai. Next, because it's the next season. And this is a show about inept social idiots.
Oh, so like that Osaka girl show?
No.
Because I watched that first episode and I was like, oh, this is exactly like what you described.
Yeah.
This is a show where they had a character design and they wanted to make a show.
Yeah. The whole thing of, like, it kind of turns me on to watch girls cry thing, that applies to this show too, because the writers really like making that one girl, Sana, who is the busty blonde girl with the butterfly hair accessory. She's everywhere if you just look
on
the
internet. Yeah,
they make her cry like every single episode. Cry. It's kind of concerning how much it happens.
Cry.
Well, no, it's more of the same stuff. It's amusing how stupid the characters are. And, yeah. I want to bring up real quick a thing that Gerald from Anime World Order said on Twitter earlier, which is like, you know, there's nothing wrong with liking shows that are bad at times. Like, sometimes it's just genuine entertainment. It's just, as long as you don't really hold it to this ridiculously high pedestal, I don't see anything wrong with watching garbage. Of course, he was also talking about Queen's Blade.
I was going to say NCIS, but whatever. Number one show in the country.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand. Like, how many murders can happen near a military base? Near a Navy base? Maybe on a boat? I heard the spinoff show doesn't even care. They just, like, gun down everybody. But everybody just likes the Hot Topic chick.
That's all that matters.
And, you know, Mark Harmon. And maybe the other characters, too.
There are other
mostly
characters?
It's Mark Harmon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Okay, so we will now convert. Well, I could talk a little bit about AKB. Not in specifics, because, you know, you haven't gotten there yet. So many people around me need to check out AKB 0048, because again, Kawamori is some kind of mad genius.
I was just gonna say he's insane.
No, there is no insanity here. This is calculated. This is the truth that you get by traveling the universe with a space vampire. And and, you know, commuting with a tesseract.
Just talk about the fucking show.
Anyway, I have to say, when they change the focus to going to the general elections with this happens with the real AKB48, where they elect who's going to get the next single or whatever, and this is kind of what puts them together and how they're going to start to start gearing up to find out who's going to be the successors. You know, they have their understudies and what have you. I think this is where they saved all of the crying. Because despite the fact that the first intro to this show had a lot of girls crying in it, there really wasn't any in the show itself. And as soon as they get to the actual election, oh, do those eyes open up. But it's funny because they actually talk about things. They're not, like, perfect. Like, one girl is, like, bitter that she wasn't voted higher. But she's still kind of happy about the whole thing. Because now she's going to work harder at it. So, yeah, it's sort of like the magic between the Kawamori and Mari Okada, because she makes a lot of anime, she writes a lot of anime where the women are in charge, like Book of Ventura, which was a show, and Black Rock Shooter.
Yep. I didn't watch either of those.
I watched Book of Ventura.
I think that makes one.
Paul Chapman was watching it because I talked about it a lot. And he always said it's like they really should have kept the original Japanese title, which is Fighting Librarians, Book of Ventura.
That's a way fucking better name.
Yeah. Because, you know, at least that has the word fighting in it. And people know what
Librarians,
the hell the show is.
That's why I'm interested.
No, the It's just Book of Mentorian in America.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's like, it would at least give you an idea of what the hell is going on. Mm. Kind of.
Nah, not at all.
No, this show, it's crazy as hell. Anyway, we will now converge. Because Girls in Panzer has not yet finished. I think it might actually be March when we get the next episode.
I'm pretty sure it's March.
Oh, that's so bad.
That's fucking painful. We get another OVA in between, though, right?
Yeah, we do. Okay, we get one that focuses on the history team.
Excellent.
Which will probably be insane.
More than likely.
All right, so we did finish up the Booster Shaky Show.
Yes.
Now, tell me about what you thought about the last two episodes.
I thought they mixed up the episodes a little bit. I feel like 11 should have happened after 12. If only because I really would have liked the show to end on just all the Shinkies drunk.
What the fuck is the Booster Shaky?
I think Kurara drunk is pretty fantastic, though.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. I really like that the super evil Shinky collector guy was the voice of Michelle. Yes. From Frontier.
Yeah, that's Hiroshi Kamiya?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much the exact same voice. Which actually kind of works really perfectly for a creepy guy who collects a shit ton of dolls.
Well, he's also Zetsubou Sensei.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But,
And Tieria, but we don't talk about Tieria anymore.
Mm-hmm. What I thought was really funny, though, was, like, the climactic part where, An puts the little memory stick with all the pictures into Hina's neck was the part where I had to start thinking about how fucking small that memory stick was.
Well, they're supposed to be micro SD cards.
That's smaller than micro SD, though.
Yeah, that is true.
Because it looks like just a regular USB by virtue of how they drew it. And so it's...
Well, no, because it's the same ones they show in other episodes where it's like... It is a micro SD card, but they forgot that, you know, Shinkies are 1/1 scale.
Yeah,
yeah. Toys are.
So that was kind of silly, but well, for the most part, I liked it a good bit. What I love that until the that they do.
Yeah, punch him, Thornton, punch him. Sorry, what?
To the very end of the day, we know what you're doing while you're not. Yeah. what I love is that even to the last fucking episode. The master is useless.
Yes,
he does not matter. He is a inconsequential character. And I think that's great. Because he sucks.
Because he sucks. It's like, you know what, guys? Takeru has more personality than Master does. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy from Above Love. Actually, he has a lot of personality. He's just shut up. Punch him.
No, you're playing a visual novel. You are going to hear him talk so much.
Oh. No, I don't hear him because he has no voice.
Flashbacks.
Have you
seen more flashbacks recently?
No, I haven't seen any flashbacks. I'm on the part where they. It's the school festival.
Mm-hmm.
And they're. No, the athletic festival. And. Yuko Sensei has issued a challenge to Marimo Sensei's class, and she's going to do something bad to Marimo Sensei.
Oh dear!
If they lose at lacrosse, so Chizuru is going to use her lacrosse skills and put together a team.
Mm.
I was kind of hoping that Mikoto was going to volunteer for the female team to reveal herself as a girl.
Yeah.
Didn't happen there. Some random ass other character said, I'll do it. I'm like, who the hell are you?
Yeah, the other classmates.
Well, yeah.
What other classmates? We don't even know who any of you fuckers are.
Hey, they keep talking when it's like the whole class. It's like the whole class. Ooh! And they like say random shit, but whatever. This is better turn into goddamn Starship Troopers.
Anyway. Back to Buso Shinki.
I like how they used a Centurion's trick.
Mm-hmm,
where they swapped armor.
Yeah.
And got more power.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. I mean, considering that is kind of a big point of the toys, I was surprised it didn't happen before when I thought about it.
I think part of the issue was they didn't want to
CG
mess
models.
With it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a lot easier to do that on CG models.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Relatively.
Yeah. So, what did you think of Buso Shinki at the end of the day?
I think I said this last time. I wish there was more.
Mm-hmm.
Because they showed they could do a lot of different stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wanted to see more of like, Kirara actually being a badass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the hijinks. The hijinks were fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I could stand them going back to Masta and do random stuff. Because, you know, at the end, they all gave Masta a hug.
What I love about that part is that Kirara just kind of magically vanishes. I guess she went back home to her master. I don't know.
Oh, I think they're in the same house, in the same building, maybe.
Who knows?
Probably not.
Then she's back for the party, so it's okay.
No. I did like how Kina had the lip.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I had a rough day. It's like, she's so stoic
mm-hmm.
for the most part, but it's like...
It's like, that's the episode that broke her.
Yeah. And she just had the lip, the little trembling lip
mm-hmm.
that she needs to see Masta.
Yeah.
My friend thought that those blank Shinkies they fought against were creepy as fuck.
That's because blank dolls are creepy as fuck.
Yeah, well, it's crazy because how they deployed from the ceiling, they just sort of fell down.
This dude has hella elaborate, mind you, specifically anti-Shinky security. Not anti-personnel, Shinkies only. I mean,
well, Shinkies can fight people too.
Oh yeah, but specifically speaking, these were in tunnels and chasms specifically for Shinkies.
Hey, because they can escape. They have a soul. They dream. It's like Wally.
I'm pretty sure all those blank Shinkies don't.
Well, they scream when you kill them.
On the plus side, he was nice enough to at least give them beam sabers, which
yes.
I thought was really funny.
Yeah, beam sabers that still cannot cut a plastic sword.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever those things are made of.
Adamantium.
Yeah. Shinkium.
Clearly, yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so I mentioned the Muv-Luv, and you, sir, you finally caught up.
Dude, I blitzed through the show like you would not believe. Like, I couldn't remember what episode I stopped on. And so I was just like, 10, that sounds about right. I was completely fucking lost, but that's okay. Because they had so many flashbacks, I easily caught up.
Yeah, that's the show having no budget.
Mm-hmm. But, I do have to admit there, like, what I like about this show is whenever you do have the, like, climactic parts of the shows or arcs, they do a good job of spreading everything out at a perfect pace, I think. Like, the bit where they're at the Russia base, and the Beta are attacking, and they're trying to get the ridiculous laser cannon out of there. It took like 3 episodes, but at no point did I ever feel like it was dragging on.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that too. It's just like, that was where it turned around. You know, and everything felt right. And he gets to be a hero.
Yes, he does.
And Yui gets to be jelly. Soft like jelly.
It was pretty fantastic. I still think that version of, I think it's the Shiranui, is my favorite.
Yeah, that's the first Shiranui.
Yeah, if only because that one's head looks a lot like a Geshpenst from Super Robot Wars.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the later ones kind of have the same head, mm-hmm. but they have a different number of fins on top.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was a...
They did, I mean, there's a Volks figure of it,
mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
the Revoltech of that is the UN-colored version.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you could buy one and repaint it.
Yeah, too much work for a Revoltech.
Yeah.
But I was wondering about it when the show was first announced, because, you know, it's a side story. It's based on, you know, the Alaska test base, essentially. I was wondering, ever since they first announced it, how are they going to end a show like this? And they ended it in about the best possible way that I could not have expected possible. The idea of bringing the terrorist faction in really kept it pretty engaging. It made me literally have to, like, watch the last, like, 7 episodes in a row, because I could not stop watching.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was pretty good. I don't know what the deal with, like, Super Russian guy was, but that's okay, because it was still kind of cool.
Well, the part of the problem is that this is based off of a light novel,
mm-hmm.
which is also going to get a visual novel.
Yep.
Which is going to be confusing. Mm-hmm. But sadly, it's a console release, so we're not going to get...
Yeah, that's going to be a bit harder to do.
Easily translated. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I felt for Natalie,
mm-hmm.
the poor barkeep girl.
Yeah, she... Like, considering she was essentially a throwaway character at the beginning of the show...
Yeah.
Her death was pretty meaningful, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, because she actually felt bad about betraying everyone mm-hmm. and tried to help them out mm-hmm. and then gets bloodily shot in the head.
Yeah.
To remind you that, hey, this is Muv-Luv, motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucking
I think
Muv-Luv.
It was a good turnaround from the stupidity that was the Hot Spring episode.
You know, that episode was stupid, but I was still laughing.
Like, it was entertaining, if only because we learned that one girl was a Fujoshi. Like, the...
That she's a hardcore lesbian.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Niram.
Yeah.
The one who looks like Bayonetta.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. With the hair.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like the big wave.
Mm-hmm.
Giant-ass American pilot.
Yeah, that was also pretty funny.
Where Vincent and VG were like, we gotta get past the
need to.
Wave.
It was pretty fantastic, and then they get their asses handed to them.
Yeah, as Mr. Guy is like, look at my beautiful pecs.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you want to rub them? Yes.
Oh, it was a little creepy. But, no, it was... Even when it was stupid, I always did find it entertaining, though.
I think that's the strength of the franchise, because, you know, the Muv-Luv visual novel, the first part,
mm-hmm.
can be kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the race rangers show up and kidnap Samika, and then Maya shows up to behead the enemy. not the race rangers don't do that, the enemies do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, Tucker is watching it and he's like, oh, this actually, you know, really feels pretty tense. Like it's really happening. And then, you know, Maya shows up in a trench coat and with a sword and beheads the enemy leader.
I remember her Figma for the longest time was on clearance because no one wanted it.
Nobody likes Maya. Because remember, her character flaw is being too rich. Yeah. But getting back to the fun club, which is the Total Eclipse guys. I kind of didn't like how Teresa was still useless, even though she's supposed to be a, you know, test pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think her and VG were kind of the didn't have much to do team. Because Stella, she got to do stuff. And she got to show that she was a really good pilot.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
and that whole Russian arc previously.
Yeah.
You know, like half the reason they were alive was because she was doing shit.
Yeah. I do like how even though for a good chunk of the show, Yui was in her super tsundere jelly mode.
mm-hmm.
You know, she didn't lose her edge. Like, she is pretty hardcore when she needs to be. She really earns her title as being a royal guard.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she's driving away on a jeep with some other guy. Dude gets his head blown off. She's got blood on her face. Doesn't stop her.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, the entire, like, those, like, I think it was, like, 2 or 3 episodes, that bit.
Yeah.
Where it's everyone just trying to get to their TSFs.
Yeah.
It was freaking intense.
Yeah, and it's one of the things about Buffalo, it's like, they hammer into you the violence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, this is vicious. And somehow the humans are just as vicious to each other as they are to the beta.
Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite parts of Muvlov, actually.
Yeah. And other little random details. I like how all the robots are held by their shoulders when they're docked in the hangar.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because that's the biggest part of them. And they would probably fall over.
More than likely. It'd be just like the actual Volks figures.
Yes, so I think some of the other ones stand better because they have bigger feet than Mr. Tomcat.
That's true.
But, oh, funny thing, though. Those guys were in the first episode.
Really?
Yeah, that's the...
Oh, okay.
There's a nice bit of synergy there because there's a tactical service fighter in action story about that. It's not very long. It's just about them going off to fight to launch, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the VF-103 Jolly Rogers squadron.
Hmm.
So we did see those guys briefly in the beginning because Yui's story did involve the invasion of Japan.
Yeah.
So they kind of put that together.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool. They weren't CG models because they weren't important.
Oh, that explains why I didn't remember them.
Yeah, they're also really dark, and it's hard to see them.
Hmm.
You just see the glowingness of their robot-y coolness.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I do like during the fight against a Russian guy, super Russian guy, and his... I mean, he's in the Berkut.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the super advanced Russian TSF.
Mm-hmm.
And they rigged a bunch of MiG-29s to slave mode.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be drones. I like how the MiG-29s, their one tactic is spam the chainsaw leg drop.
Because
that is what AI always does.
I noticed that.
They find that one tactic. It's like, if you played God Hand or whatever. Oh, no, Dynasty Warriors. There you go. They got that one super move. Just keep using it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a shame, again, there's only a Volks figure of that guy. So, it's like, I want chainsaw legs.
Yeah. I'm more Russian TSFs in general. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And we did get to see more of Yui's Takemikazuchi.
Mm-hmm. Which was good.
Because they reiterate that, yes, the hands are bladed. And it can totally do some Nanto Seiken.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. What did you think about the way they wrap up the whole thing with the Scarlet Twins?
I thought it came out of fucking nowhere. And it was kind of weird. But at the same time, I really didn't care. Like, yeah. I was like, that is fucking cool. She just killed the shit out of Darkie, whose name I still can't remember.
Teresa.
Ugh. Every single fucking time, I can never remember her name. What is... They just call her Chobi, right?
Yes, Chobi is her nickname.
Yeah, that's what I remember her name as.
Okay.
But, yeah, I thought that was really entertaining, and... without intending anything particularly deep or meaningful, I think it was a very good effective idea of having... At least for a little bit, having Yui fight against them. Before Bridges showed up. And admittedly, that was some of the those were some of the coolest fights of the show. Was that TSF versus the Takemikazuchi, and also then Yuya's, was it still the Shiranui then, or the Shiranui?
Yes.
Okay.
No, the Shiranui second.
Second, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, I did like the little interlude they had with the American pilots and their Raptors.
Yeah. It was cool because I finally got to say, oh, that's what those guys were doing. Because they showed them like 3 episodes ago
doing
stuff in the forest. And they're like, hey, guys, we're going to shoot stuff now.
Okay. Well, that's what they have to do. They have to kill the laser class.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked how they showed the two regular laser class, you know, just kind of look over. And then you see, you know, a big heavy laser class. And it's like, oh, what's he doing? And they pan over. It's like, oh, it's a corpse shield. Awesome.
It was quite excellent.
Because they never, ever shoot allies.
Mm-hmm.
That was a cool thing. The TSF, the Forefront PC game, that's one of the mechanics, is that if you get locked onto by an enemy laser class,
mm-hmm.
you have to put another beta between you and that laser class to break the lock. So, keeps you on your toes and kind of keeps the spirit of the game, the combat.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of cool. I think the problem there is that there was some backstory with the, you know, jelly baby inside the tube that's also in the Berkut cockpit.
Yeah, and I think just they didn't have time to cover it.
Yeah.
Such that, you know, a lot of the effect of that was lost on us.
Yeah, I don't even think they covered that in the novels, because
really?
I didn't hear much of... Well, either nobody's translated it, or...
that's true.
It was kind of a weird unknown.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was weird. I do love how when she flipped... How when... Russian guy flips the switch, turns on the psychic thing,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, yeah, now they're under my control. And... It's like, nope.
It's like, this plan could not have gone any worse for you, I think.
No, because they are able to remote control the Berkut
mm-hmm.
from the Terminator, take out the cockpit pod, and smash themselves a Russian guy like a beer can.
I chuckled pretty hard when I saw it. It's a part of, it's that's like, about the part of the show when I just kind of go and fist pump and say, fuck yeah, violence.
Yeah, that was just like, again, that's them not pulling their punches.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that worked pretty well.
It's not even pulling punches. It's literally just like taking a sledgehammer to your face. It's like there's no subtlety in this at all. In fact, we're doing the exact opposite of that.
Well, it's like, I mean, Gundam doesn't quite get to that level, you know? But
the last one to really do it, I think, was Seed.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. Whereas I think Muv Luv, just because it's like, it kind of disarms you. It's like, oh, cute girls and anime guys, and it's like, death.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then they take over the Berkut, and then we have Yuya's great plan to stop this madness. Hugs! That was beautiful.
I feel like this just always reminds me of the fact that the lyrics to the second Godan, our opening, is "Love is the final weapon."
Well, there were supposed to be lyrics in the songs for this show, in the second opening and ending,
mm-hmm.
that were going to hint to how it was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really like the second opening.
Mm-hmm. I actually like the second opening more than the first. I think I'm in the small minority there.
Well, it's like, what, 6 episodes of the show have that opening?
Yeah, I was like, oh, a second opening. I thought the show was over.
Yeah, they kind of screwed up on that.
Just a bit.
Yeah, I really hope they get a good bounce from this. Mm-hmm. I know people are looking for toys and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
me too.
You are.
I really should order that Terminator if it's still in AmiAmi. Maybe I shouldn't have bought so much Lego.
Are you getting the model kit or the...
I think I'm going to go with the Revoltech. Well, it depends on what's sold out, I guess.
Well, the Revoltechs are still out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place you might pay a little more.
Yeah, it's just AmiAmi, it's like 2,300 yen, so it's like, ooh, that is a price I'm willing to pay, especially with the current yen rate.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
Oh, certainly. Well, I'm going to check it right now, because I'm always curious. 90.75, okay. It went back down for a while, but then it just jumped right back up, so... I think we're all right for now.
Yeah, you also have to make sure that PayPal is going to update their currency rates,
too. That would help.
Because they're jerks about that.
My buddy Baltan on Twitter... I have thrown out a lot of names today. He mentioned that there's some way to get it so that it's actually accurate to that. Using like a credit card trick or something. I'll have to ask him and clarify. Because that would be
nice. I'm not going to mess with that. You can do that. I'm pretty... I'm not really into the money fraud.
It's not a fraud thing. It's a setting thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, I think the big problem is that this next season looks kind of dire.
Which one? You mean right now, or...?
Yeah, this season. Yeah, the winter season.
Right now is kind of... Right now is a good time to watch a lot of stupid anime, is what I'm finding.
And I watched another episode of Suremachi. Or, you know, And Yet the Town Moves.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a really funny bit where they were all held up in a laundromat in a rainstorm.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they had to dry their clothes off. But that was, like, brief fan service. Mm-hmm. But Hotori's all like, I want something hot. This sucks. So they all get really fascinated by the vending machines there. Because they're the kind that make a hot meal for you right there.
Oh.
Like an automatic udon machine. And the reheated hamburger machines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just watch them get so fascinated by these damn things. But I also like how Hotori's friend with the glasses, she has a crush on like the one guy in the show.
Mm-hmm.
The one high school guy. And she couldn't open a jar while they were both at the Seaside Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, can you open this for me? And then he's like, yeah, okay, sure. And then she's like, looking for a jar that she can't open. Another one.
Brilliant.
So she finds like a thing of pickles or something, and it rolls behind the fridge, and then you just see her angrily moving the fridge with all of her strength. And it's like, oh, God.
But, yeah. Oh, that's pretty dumb.
Yeah. This show is hilarious, though. Oh, it's just like, it's great.
Oh, speaking of which, go ahead first.
I was going to say, I did like the bit where Hotori snuck out with her little brother because he couldn't go to sleep because she gave him an energy drink. Yeah. And when they were going around, they almost got caught by that police officer guy who I think he made a Lupin reference at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to a supermarket and they're just kind of walking around. And suddenly it goes from being, you know, like 11 o'clock to being midnight the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid is like, wait, what just happened? And Hotori is like, you just witnessed the changing of days. And she kind of muses about it. It's like, how old was I when I first encountered that? Because it blows this kid's mind. And I'm like, well, yeah, that totally does happen to little kids that are like, oh my God, now it's the next day.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa. Secret of the damn universe.
Indeed. So on that note, I've also been watching more Mon Girl and Yama no Susume. The show is about the manga industry and also rock climbing. Or mountain climbing, I guess. And they finally reached the point where they decide to go hiking. And they first need to learn about the equipment. And so the dad of the girl who's super enthusiastic into going up mountains, he shows her an A-frame for a tent. And he's like, do you even know what this is? And her immediate reaction is to think, oh, this is one of those three-segment staffs you use to fight bears. Which is
exactly
wrong.
Yes. Yes.
And so they take that and they say, okay, we're finally going to go up a mountain. And so the super timid girl is like, oh, I got to get ready. I need to like put on like 50 jackets and like a hard hat in case I ever get hit by a rock. And they just go up like a commercial park hill. And so like a little girl and her mom beats them to the top of the mountain because it's just a paved road.
Oh, dear.
And then they start discussing how to cook using the butane heaters and like a pot.
Mm-hmm.
And so the timid girl makes a super elaborate meal and recipe that she plans the day before. And she essentially makes paella using it. And the other girl says, this is delicious. And instead, she made a penne mushroom pasta dish. and it's amazingly good. But that's also because it was freeze-dried food, and she just poured water in it, and that was it.
I think we had fun. All right, so this has been another episode of the Otaku DX Show with Veef and Deef. We recently did another Veef show about the current state of Transformers, which didn't get a lot of responses, but people seem to enjoy it.
I wanted people to get mad at us. I'm surprised not more people were mad at us.
I think those people are all over at TFW arguing about Blue Streak's name. Because they announced the MP Prowl and MP...
MP 19. Jesus, we were at 10 like a year ago.
Well, this is their new aggressive business strategy.
It's fucking working.
Make all the G1s before those...
The dirty third parties do.
Yeah, because the third party just came out with the not Shockwave.
Mm-hmm.
Quake Wave.
Which I thought looked all right in prototype pictures, but seeing it in hand now...
Yeah, it looks kind of crappy.
I don't know, I just... Oh, I like my Fall of Cybertron one more.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, that's the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we are signing off, and we're going to catch you in sometime in the future.
But before that, you can contact us on Twitter at @SignVeefAndDeef.
All one word.
Also, you can email us, which no one has done yet, at veefanddeef@gmail.com. And we also have our own Twitter names, and I'm not going to say mine.
If you want to find our Twitter names, you can look in the show information in the MP3 file.
And also
they put it all
notes
in there, and the show notes as well. Mm-hmm. Or you can just, you know, find a friend of a friend on Twitter who's probably heard of us. Because it's a small internet out there.